divorce from her husband. The Mishnah has a din in Maseches Gittin that not only is a grusha asur l'kayim, even if the get that the husband gave to the wife was meaningless, it was a pasul a get ben haTorah, but it smells like a get. The Gemara calls it a reich haget. A reich haget also asas the isha l'baila. The pasuk reads, isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu. If the woman was divorced from her husband, afilu lo nigarsha ela me'isha. So the Mishnah says what it means is the husband gave a get to his wife. He said, "Hareat megureshes b'mani v'hareat iat b'teres l'shum adam." He says, "I divorce you. I no longer have an obligation to support you. I don't have to give you any support. But you're not allowed to marry anybody else." So she's still married to him. There is no such get. It's a puzzle again. If he's not mad to her to anybody, filon is garsha ela meyisho. So nonetheless, she's asur l'kuna. That's called reach haget. The Rambam, when he quotes this din, that a kohen is not permitted to marry a grusha, let's say a kohen is married to a woman and he gives his wife such a get, that's not valid at all. The get is hariyat megoresh man of hariyam pateres lushim adam. So she's still married to the husband, but now he has to get divorced because she's a grusha asur l'kohen. So now he has to get divorced. There is a discussion whether this is the raisa de rabbanan. The Rambam sounds like he writes that this is only the Rabbanon, and the Magen Mishnah disagrees, but the Rambam, he thinks that the Tanoim learned that from a Pasuk. Why should you assume that it's only an Asmachta? It sounds like it's a Drosha Gemura derais. Shagas Aryeh has, in addition to his regular Shalos HaTshuva Shagas Aryeh, he has the Shalos HaTshuva Shagas Aryeh HaChadoshes, the second volume. Much of his discussions there are about Issa Chadosh. That's not why it's called Shagas Aryeh HaChadoshes. Happens that he has a big section about Chodesh there, but he has other tshuvas, and one of the tshuvas is about this. Shagazai writes shailas that no one ever asked him. You know, when is the Sosman Kriyashma? There wasn't a shaila that came up. So this also, he has a shaila where the Reach HaGet is the Reis of the Rabban. So he quotes Machleg is the Rambam Magen Mishnah, and he thinks that Magen Mishnah is right. He thinks that it's a real din derais. Okay, Machleg is a Rishayin. The Rambam in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam was written for Ashkenazim. The Mechaber wrote for Svardim, and the Rambam wrote for Ashkenaz. So the Rambam quotes a section of the Tshuvas HaRashba that not only is a Reach HaGet, let's say the Get was written Shelo Lishma. A man writes a Get Shelo Lishma. The Sefer writes a Get without Tziva Yabal. So the Get is written Shelo Lishma. It's no good Ben HaTorah. And then the husband divorces his wife with a Get that's written Shelo Lishma. Is that also called Reach HaGet? So the Gemara has three different opinions in the beginning of the second perek in Gittin. There are different types of shalom l'shma. One kind of shalom l'shma, the sofer wrote a get just practicing. They're just practicing safras. So that's the worst shalom l'shma. The other kind was the get was written for one couple who has the husband's name is Eliezer and the wife's name is Rivka. And then now a different man has got the get was written b'lishen gerishim and not for this couple at all. A third kind of a shalom l'shma, the get was written for this man, but he has two wives who have the same name. So it's the right man, but it's the wrong wife. Now he's going to use it for a different wife. And then the fourth kind of shalom l'shma, the husband tells the sofer, I have two wives with the same name, Rivka, and he says, I didn't decide yet which one I'm going to divorce. Write a get for one of my two wives, and I'll decide later. So the Mishnah says in all four cases, it's no good. It's shalom l'shma. So the Gemara has three different opinions. So the Gemara says, the first case, where the Sofim wrote the get, l'hislami, just for practice, that's for sure not even Reach HaGet. The second case is the Machlokes. And the third case of Machlokes, the fourth case of Machlokes, we paskin that none of those are Reach HaGet. V'hilchasa, none of them are Reach HaGet. She's Muteris L'Koin. So the Shaila is there any other kind of a get that's puzzled that's a Reach HaGet? Maybe the only Reach HaGet that exists is the one that the Mishnah has. Hare Megureshes Memani Behare Iyat Muteris L'Shum Adam. So the Rambam and Ebenezer writes for Ashkenazim, not for Svardim, that there's a Tshuvas HaRashba. The Rashba was a Svardi, but the Rambam quotes the Tshuvas, the Mechaber does not quote it, and the Rambam quotes the Tshuvas HaRashba. That if the Rabbanim recommended that the couple should get a get l'chumre, even though Mi'ikar HaDin, they really didn't need a get. And if it would be a Shas HaTchak, we would even permit the woman to remarry without a get. But Lamaisa, we encourage them to get a get, and she gave the get, so there are more quotes from the Tshuvas HaRashba that this is also called Reach HaGet, and she's not allowed to marry a kohen. How far do you go with this Reach HaGet? What if she went ahead and she did marry a kohen? So we say, even B'dievet Teitze, she has to get divorced? So the Beis Shmuel on the side of the Ebenezer says yes. He quotes the Bach, even B'dievet Imnisis Teitze, she has to get divorced. The problem is that this line that the Ramah quotes from the Tshuva Sarashba is the middle of a Tshuva, and the Rashba comes to the conclusion that it's not so. So the Ramah is quoting out of context. So the Pri Yitzchak has a whole Tshuva. Pri Yitzchak is a Tshuva Sefer written by Rabbi Yitzchak Petterburger, Rabbi Yitzchak Blase. He was one of the most outstanding students of Rabbi Saul Salanter. He was the most learned from the Talmidim, Rabbi Saul Salanter. He was the strongest in learning. He was the rabbi in St. Petersburg for many years, until he retired to Eretz Yisrael. Years ago, when I was a little boy growing up, so the pushkas that you would put in stock of Eretz Yisrael always had his picture. He had a pointy beard, one point on the bottom. So he always had the picture of a Yitzchak Blazer on the pushkas for Aniyei Eretz Yisrael. So the Pri Yitzchak is a very strong tshuva sefer. His style is he does like detective work. He tries to ascertain what the Derishan say. So he'll quote the Rashbaz and the Chidushim all over and all the Tshuvas and everything, puts everything together. He pieces all the pieces together and then he comes up with the real Pshat and the Rishon. So he says if you put together the Rashbaz and Yevamas and the Rashbaz and the Tshuva, you put together the whole picture, the Rashbaz never said it, and it's really Mutar L'chatchila. But he says the Ramah says that it's us, so I'm not going to take on the Ramah. But he says the Beis Shmuel quoted the Bach, that even with the Evanim, this is Tetzah, he says, that's on my achrayis. If by mistake the girl went ahead and she married a kohen by a get that was given l'chumra, the Ikar Adin, you really didn't need a get, so he says, that you can be mekel by the Evanim. Im this is loy Tetzah. The Shaila came up recently. There was a woman whose first marriage was, she was married by a reform rabbi. There were no kosher Adim at all. The Edom under the chuppah were her sisters and all relatives and women and everything. The whole thing was a joke. And then when she got divorced from the first marriage, the reform marriage, so somehow or another they went and they gave her a kosher get. She went to an Orthodox bez and they gave her a kosher get. And then she married, the second husband was a kohen, and neither he nor she were religious. And then slowly, the kohen started becoming observant and he starts to duchen in shul and then he gets religious. And then one Shabbos he has a guest over and they tell him, well, you're a kohen, you're married to a grusha. What are you, crazy? You have to get divorced. And they already had four children. So the Shaz, they have to get divorced. Now, he was married in the army. Probably also a reformed chaplain. His kiddushin was also a joke. When he married this grusha, the marriage was a joke. So the Shaila was, the Rabbi Yitzchak Petterburger, the Pri Yitzchak was mekel. And this is, here it's loynesis. They didn't get married. He has to do another Siddur Kiddushin with the woman now, because marriage that they have is nothing. But they already have four children. So the pashtus is that the Pri Yitzchak didn't only mean in this is loytaitse. It means if you're stuck already, the guy's a Baal Tshuva, they're going to tell me he has to divorce his wife, and who's going to take care of the four children? So if you have like such a big Shas Hatchak like that, Shas Hatchak can he ever dummy? So they allowed him to get married to the wife, because the whole get that was given. And the first marriage was only a get l'chumer. Mika didn't really didn't need it. It's known in Eretz Yisrael that when people have such a case, they all go to Chacham Avadya. Chacham Avadya is a Sfardi. So the Sfardim don't have this chumer to begin with. The Mechaber doesn't quote this, or misquote, whatever, this Tshuva Sarashba. The Ramo is the first one who quotes it. So the Ashkenazim go to Chacham Avadya, and they know that his opinion is that he'll tell you against the Ramo. The question is that right? On the part of Chacham Avadya, to paskin for Ashkenazim with a Sephardi psak. The proper thing is, when Sephardim come to you with a shaila, so you have to paskin them Sephardi psak. When Ashkenazim come, you're supposed to give them an Ashkenazi psak. Here there used to be a Talmid Chacham in a neighborhood, passed away many years ago, 40 years ago. So he used to be a dayan in Presburg. So when Baal HaBatim would come with a shaila in Hilchas Nida, so we'd always ask him, is your family Yekis? Are you Hungarians? Are you Galatiana? Are you Polish? Depending on what your family background was, he would give you a different psak based on what the tradition was in Hilchas Nida, whatever the case happens to be. So is that right that Chacham Avadya paskins with Sephardi psak for Ashkenazim? So someone published a book, Benny Lau, I think, published a book, Mimora and Admora, from the base, Moran HaBeis Yosef, Admora Chacham Avadya. So the thesis of the book is, the theme of the book is the style of psak of Chacham Avadya. Very interesting book. And in the middle of the book he writes that in the early years of the Medina, all the Dayanim were Ashkenazim. Most of the Dayanim were Ashkenazim, and they would give Ashkenazi psak to everybody, even Sephardim. So which was not right. They were forcing Ashkenazi, they weren't forcing, but they were passing Ashkenazi psak on the Svardim. So Chacham Avadya decided, Kasherasa Ken Yasalo. Now that we have so many Svardi Dayan, we're going to force Svardi Psak on the Ashkenazim. And he has in the book, he has a statement, Chacham Avadya read the book from cover to cover, and he agreed with everything that it says in the book. I thought that was a condemnation. He agreed with that statement, that he Kasherasa Ken Yasalo, that just like in the beginning of the years of the Medina, first 20 years, the Ashkenazi Rabbanim were forcing Ashkenazi Psak on the Svardi. So he's going to force Svardi Psak on the Ashkenazi. The Pashta says that that's not the proper way to go. Proper thing should be that for Svardim it's Mutter. Svardim don't hold for this Chumr of the Ramah. And Ashkenazim do hold the Lechatchila. A Kohen shouldn't marry a girl who has a Reach HaGet, and a Get given Lechumr is considered a Reach HaGet. The Poskim just say, let's say the couple on their own, not that the Rabbanim recommended that they should have a Get, couple on their own decided they're going to get a Get. So that's not called the Lechumr Seramah. That a get given lechumra is considered reich haget. So it says in the Beishmo. That's only if the Rabbanim recommended that they should have a get. The Balabatim on their own, that's not called the reich haget. There was, okay. So min haTorah grusha asur lekoin, that's a pasuk in Chumash. Mid the Rabbanim, the Gemara says in Yevamos, a chalutza is also asur lekoin. The Mishnah always talks about ben grusha, ben chalutza. So you have to keep in mind, the Ben Grusha is a din there, right? So the Ben Chalutza is only a din the Rabbanon. The Gemara says, Chalutza is only made the Rabbanon because it looks like a Grusha. What about Bizman Hazeh? Is a Chalutza still Asur Elokoyin? Why should the dinim change Bizman Hazeh? So the Pasuk says in Sefer Ezra, when Ezra and Nechemi were involved in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, they only permitted Kohanim to be Makriv Karbonis who could produce a Ksav Yichas, going all the way back to the Bais Rishon, that they are descendants of people who are Makor Karbonis, Bizman Bais Rishon. Whoever was a Kohani Chazoka, they were assumed to be Kohanim. In Bavel, during the 70 years of Golas Bavel, they would duchen, they would get the first Aliyah, they would do Pinyan Aben, but they didn't really have a Ksav Yichas. So they're Kohanim, we let them get the first Aliyah and do Pinyan Aben, and so on, Chabadan to Bench Mezuman, but we wouldn't permit them to be Makar of Karbanas in the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Kohani Chazoke, as opposed to Kohanim Miyuchasim. There aren't so many Kohanim Miyuchasim around today. So that's the Shaila. What kind of a din is that? That a Kohen, Kohanim, Kohani Chazoke, they're assumed to be Kohanim, are not allowed to be Makar of Karbanas in the Beis HaMikdash. So for many generations, the early Achrenim assumed that Kohanim is Manazaharoni, Kohani Chazoka, Asafik Kohanim. So in the Gemara, there's a din that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that if a Kohen went ahead with the Yevid and he married a Safik Chalutza, there's a woman, it's a Safik if she needs Chalitza, the Safik the Raisa Luchumas, and we went ahead and we did the Chalitza, but she's only labeled as a Chalutza, Asur Lekohanim, she really needed the Chalitza. If Al Pidin, there was no need for the Chalitza, so she's not a Chalutza. So here, the Kohen went ahead and he married with the Yevid. He married a girl who's a Safik Chalutza. So the Gemara says, since Chalutza is only with the Rabbanon, so Safik Chalutza, Safik the Rabbanon, so Safik the Rabbanon, Lekulam. If he married her already, so we say, this is Leitetz. He wouldn't permit a Lechatchila to marry a Safik Chalutza, but if he married her already, then we would say, Safik the Rabbanon, Lekulam. So some of the earlier Poskim said, what if the girl is a Vadai Chalutza, but the Kohen is a Safik Kohen? So just like a Kohen who married a Safik Chalutza, Leitetz, so if a Safik Koi marries a Vada Chalutz, it's also a Safik Darabon Lekula, but the Yevid would be a Nisus Leitetz. So this was a Psaka Mekubal till the days of Tzvi Hirsch Kalosher. Tzvi Hirsch Kalosher was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eger. So Tzvi Hirsch Kalosher was the one who made the whole tumult. He didn't know that there was a mask on the Makam HaMikdosh, and he said we should get the wealthy Jews to build the Beis HaMikdosh and to be Makar Karbonis, and we're going to solve all the problems. Like everybody's tummy, how can you make a karbonis betumah? So he said, tumah's mutah betzibur, karbonis is manakavua. And he has a whole sefer, it's called Rishas Tzion, about the possibility of building a Beis HaMikdash and makar the karbonis bizman hazeh. So one of the problems that he's faced with is this issue of kohanim miyuchasim. We don't have enough kohanim miyuchasim to go around, to run a Beis HaMikdash 7 days a week. There are very few Kohanim Yechosim. All the Kohanim, Kohanim Chazakas. So the Pasuk says in Ezra Nehemiah, Bikshu Ksavam HaMasyachzim V'lo Matzo V'nigo Alu Min HaKuna. It says in the Beferish in Tanakh, they were rejected from Kuna. They weren't allowed to be Makil Karbonis if they're only Kohanim Chazakas. So Rav Tzvi Yishkalashe came up with a chiddush that that chumra that says in Ezra, Sefer Ezra, that was only a chumra mid the Rabbanim that was introduced at that time. And it's self-understood, the chumra, the Rabbanim is only heichad efshir. If there are enough kohanim yuchosim to run the Beis HaMikdash, then we don't permit kohanim chazakah to run. Oh, but Bizman Azef will build the Beis HaMikdash and we simply won't be able to be makar karbanis if you'll stand on ceremonies and insist that you have to have dafke kohanim yuchosim. So it's self-understood that the chumra, the Rabbanim doesn't apply. This was his chiddush. He sent the whole sefer to Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega was maskim. Rabbi Kivega sent the whole sefer to his son-in-law, the Chasam Sefer. Chasam Sefer had three wives, one after the other. So his second wife was the daughter of Rabbi Kivega. So the Chasam Sefer was maskim. So from that time on, that was a major turn in the history of halacha. From that time on, they assumed kohanim is manazah v'adak kohanim. It's not kohanim chazaka safik kohanim. Why should it be safik kohanim? They're assumed to be kohanim, they're v'adak kohanim. It's a chumra mid the rabbanon that we don't permit kohanim chazaka to be makir korbanos. So all the kulas that they keep on printing, they always used to print in the Jewish press, let's ask the rabbi, and all these kulas that kohanim is manazeh, the sof kohanim. Kohanim is manazeh, that was in the days of the Shev Yankim in the Knesset Yecheskel, in the 1600s, early 1700s. Once you get to the middle of the 1800s, Rabbi Tzvi Yishkalashe wrote his sefer, and the Chasam Sofer was maskim, and Rabbi Kivega was maskim. So the accepted psak today that is that kohanim is manazeh, are vaday kohanim, they're not sofik kohanim, and there's no room to be makled by chalutza. We'll talk about gioris in a few minutes. What is a shaila that is discussed, alam de shaila is, let's say you have a kohen marries a chalutz and they have a son. So in our Torah, the kohen didn't do anything wrong. The son is a kohen kosher. He should get the first aliyah. Mid the rabbanon, the kohen wasn't permitted to marry the chalutza. So the son is a ben chalutza, so he's a cholol mid the rabbanon. So how do you deal with a guy? He's a kohen min ha-Torah, so he gets the first aliyah. Mid the rabbanon, he's not a kohen, so he should not get the first aliyah. But we have a practice, we don't give a kohen any aliyahs later. Kohen achar kohen la'ikrim, I think, of the gomash al-rishon. So he can't give a kohen, so min ha-Torah, the guy is a kohen. So he can't get kohen, mid the rabbanon is not a kohen. He can't get from shlishi till shvi, because min ha-Torah, he is a kohen. So he can only give him after. Okay, Hagba Glila Mafta. You can't give him a normal aliyah. You can't give him the first aliyah. You can't give him the later aliyahs. He's stuck. The din is that a kohen is not allowed to be mitamei l'meisim. A cholol, if a kohen marries a grusha, they have a child. A cholol is cholol means emptied out, empty space, vacuum. So a cholol is permitted to be mitamei l'meisim. A cholol is permitted to marry a grusha. A cholol is mamish, not a kohen, period. He's emptied out from Kedushas Kuna. So what's the story with a ben chalutza? A ben chalutza, you go to chumra in both directions. Min ha-Torah, he is a kohen, so he's not allowed to marry a grusha. But midrabbanan, we say he's not a kohen. So the shaila is a ben chalutza permitted to marry a chalutza? Min ha-Torah, he's a kohen. Ben chalutza is a perfect kohen. But on the level of the raisa, chalutza is materis l'kuhuna. On the level of the Rabbanon, a kohen is not allowed to marry a chalutza, but on the level of the Rabbanon, this guy's a cholol. So he should be permitted, he should even be permitted to marry a grusha. But he can't marry a grusha on the level of the Raisa. He is a kohen. He can't marry a grusha. But this should be miman of shach b'di Rabbanon. That's a term that was, an expression that was coined by the Achreinim, by the Gdolim, in the late 1800s, early 1900s. A new concept, miman of shach b'di Rabbanon. On the level of the Raisa is mutter, and on the level of the Rabbanah should be mutter. On the level of the Raisa, a kohen is mutter b'chalutza. On the level of the Rabbanah, a kohen is also b'chalutza, but on the level of the Rabbanah, he's a ben chalutza. So it should be mutter. So the Chelkas Yoyab is a sefer Shalas HaTshuvas that was written by Chassidish Rebbe, who was very, he used to correspond with the Avnei Nezer a lot. So the Chelkas Yoyab, I think, is the first one who has a discussion on this. You look in the Oitzer HaPoskim of Eben Ezer, they refer you. The first one who has a discussion on this topic, what Ben Chalutza is permitted to marry Chalutza, is the Chelkas Yoyab. And he says that you don't, he's not allowed to. He thinks that you don't say, Miman of Shach Midrabban. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a Sefer Aswin Deraisa, many of you may be familiar. And in the first page in the Aswin Deraisa, he gives you the table of contents. And he writes what the theme of every essay is. So he says on one essay, the theme is Miman of Shach Midrabbanan. He says, read the essay and you know what the topic is. If you don't read the essay, you don't even know, how can you describe in the table of contents what the theme is? So he says, read the inside in the essay, you'll understand what the topic means. So the Abnei Nezer has a tshuva to the Chelkas Yoiv about this. Do you say Miman of Shach Min Derabbanan? So he thinks that the Chelka, he agrees with them, that you don't say Miman of Shach Min Derabbanan. If a person, this is a theme that's recurrent in Rav Soloveitchik's shurim, that sometimes a person, sometimes you have a situation of Tarte de Sasri. The person is both a Kohen and not a Kohen. At the same time, he's a Jew and not a Jew at the same time. Let's say a Jew who's Mechal Shabbos Dina Ka'akum, or an Apikor is Dina Ka'akum. So he's a Jew and at the same time he's not a Jew. See, it's a Tarte de Sasri over here. On the level of the Raisi, he's a Kohen. On the level of the Rabbanon, he's not a Kohen. So it's a Tarte de Sasri. He's both a Kohen and not a Kohen. So whenever you have a Tarte de Sasri, we treat it as if it were a Sofik. But he says it's not a real Sofik. If it would really be a Sofik, if he's a Kohen, not a Kohen, then you can say Mimonim Shach. On the level of the Raisa, he's allowed to marry a Chalutz. On the level of the Rabban, he's not a Kohen. It's not that it's a real Sofik. We treat it as if it were a Sofik. And he quotes the Abnei Nezer has a Hoichocha from a Tosefta in Kalim, of all places, that you can't say Mimonim Shach in such a case. Whenever you have a Tarte de Sasri. His Tosefta in Kalim is talking about, let's say you have a kli which is made from a blend of different materials. A kli cheres, the din is, it's only mekabel tumah from the inside, it's not mekabel tumah from the outside. But once it's mekabel tumah, it has no tarah b'mikveh. A kli mateches has mekabel tumah from the outside also. But once it's mekabel tumah, it has tefillah b'mikveh. So what if you have a kli that's a blend of materials? 75% of it is metal, and 25% is cheres. So the reverse, 75% is cheres, and 25% is metal. So the Tosefta says you go basar roiv. Whatever the roiv is, that's how you determine. What if it's machza machza? What if it's 50-50? So then the Tosefta says you go l'chumah in both directions. So what if you have a tarte de sasri? It was mekabel tumah from the outside. Adam Tommy touched it from the outside. So only mekabel tumah from the outside if it's a kli mateches. So then you want to say it has no tarah b'mikveh because it's a kli cheres. No, but if it's a kli cheres, it was never mekabel tumah in the first place. It shouldn't have been mekabel tumah in the first place. So that's a machlokes hatanaim and the Tosefta. The same iman of shach in such a case, and the Abnei Nezer claims based on the klali hapsak, we should pass them that you don't say iman of shach. So he applies that. He has it in hilchas avodah zarah. He has a tshuva, hilchas avodah zarah. So he thinks also like the chelkas yoyev that you can't say iman of shach in the rabban. So ben chalutza, we wouldn't permit a ben chalutza to marry a chalutza, to marry a shvuya, even though the shvuya and the chalutza are only awesome with the rabbanon. We don't say miman of shach with the rabbanon. So again, so the chumash only has grusha, chalutza is with the rabbanon. Then the chumash has a zayna. A zayna is asur l'kain. What exactly is a zayna? So the original zayna is an eshes ish shezinsa, tachas baila. That's a zayna. What if the eshes ish was nensa? She wasn't mezana beratzim. So how can you call her a zayna? So that's a beferish and mishnah in the end of the first parak in Ksubas, that even if the woman was nensa, she's still asura likahuna. Not only an eshes ish, says zinsa an eshes ish and nensa, even let's say a kohen is married to a woman and she's nensa by someone else, so the kohen has to get divorced. His wife just became a zaino. Not only if she was an eshes ish, she's zinsa, what if she was nivala lepasala? So the Raman Paskins, that's the definition of zaino. A woman who's nivala l'pasala. Let's say a woman slept with a nochri, akum, eved, mamzer, cholol. A woman is permitted to marry a cholol, it's hetagomer. But nonetheless, if the woman is nivala l'cholol, she becomes nivala l'pasala p'sala. She's never allowed to marry a kohen. On the other hand, let's say a woman didn't observe taras hamishpacha, and she was sleeping with her husband, they violated an isa koris. So, but that's not called nivala l'pasala. Nivala l'pasala, the Rambam writes this contrast. A woman marries a cholol as het gamur. The cholol has a shame psul. It's nivala l'pasala. She becomes a zayin asur l'kain. On the other hand, if the woman violates the laws of taras hamishpacha, and then the husband dies and she wants to marry a kain, she's permitted to, because an aman is permitted to marry a kain. And the fact that she violated the laws of taras hamishpacha, that's not called nivala l'pasala. She violated the Isanita, but the man that she was sleeping with didn't have a Chalashem Psul on him. So the Raman Paskins, that's the only time that you say, Zaina, Zaina, Eze, Zaina, Amura, Batoira, is Nivala, Lepasala, Psula. The Gemara has a Machlekes Hatanoim, Rablezin, Nachachamim, what's the din of Pane, Habal, Apnuya, Shulol, Lishem, Ishus, Aso, Zaina, Anat. So the Tana Rablezer holds that Pane Habala Pnuya Asaza, you know, and the Gemara says we don't pass on like that. That's the way we have the gears in the Gemara. We don't pass on like Rabbi Blazer. Rabbi Yeruchim Perlo has this three-volume Sefer Mitzvahs for Rav Sadia Gaon. You may be familiar. Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a whole poem where he incorporates all the Taryag Mitzvahs, and they used to recite it as a piyut on Shavuos. So this Rabbi Yeruchim Perlo was a businessman at Balabas in Europe a long time ago. So he wrote a whole commentary, three fat volumes, to try to figure out what's the secret, what's the klal of a Rav Sadia Gaon, how did he decide which mitzvahs belong in the minyan of mitzvahs and which not. So he has a lot of chidushim there as he's going through, as he's plowing through all the material. So he thinks that there are other rishonim had a different gears in the Gemara, and maybe you have to be machmer upon a habal apnuya, that she is a sign of a kind. But we're not machmer for that. If a girl had an affair with a Jewish boy, a single girl was mazana with a Jewish boy, that's not a zayna. If a girl had an affair with a non-Jew, or she was mazana, she went to college and she doesn't know whether the boy that she slept with was Jewish or not, so that's a safik deraisa l'chumr. If she may be nivala l'pasala, she's asura. The Mishnah has ma'isa b'tinoikis. There was a young girl, she yorda l'malas ma'im min ha'mayon. A young girl went to draw water from the well and she was attacked. She was nensa by someone. She does not know whether the man who was ma'anasa was Jewish or non-Jewish. So the Mishnah says in Ksubis that she's not allowed to marry a kohen because it's safik deraisa, safik nivul alapasal apsalam. I remember years ago, Talmud Chochma had smicha from Rav Moshe, was bothered with Akasha. Is a steer and Rav Lezer. Then in the beginning of Ksubis, Omer Rav Lezer, Omer Rav Yechanan, you have on Daftes, I think, in Ksubis, the assumption is that Pada Habal Apnuya does not become a Zaina. And the man says, Pesach Pasoch Matzasi. So the Gemara says it's a Svek Sveke, on Daftes, a Svek Sveke. Maybe she was Nivola before the marriage, and even if it was during the marriage, maybe it was Ba'inus, maybe it wasn't Ba'inus. So it's a Svek Svek. So the one who's speaking there is Omer, I would never remember, but that's what the guy asked me to kasha. So it says, Omer Rav Lezer, Omer Rav Yechanan. So Rav Lezer says that Pana Habal Apnuya is not a Zaina. But Rav Lezer says over there in the other Gemara that Pana Habal Apnuya is a Zaina. So I said, what are you crazy? This is Omer Rav Lezer, Rav Yechanan. This is an Amoira, a Talmud of Rav Yechanan. That's a Tana Rav Lezer. He never heard of this. He thought that every time he says a Shas Rav Lezer, it's the same person. But you should know they're two different people. One was a Tana, and we don't accept his opinion. Rav Lezer Shamutihu. We don't accept this Rav Lezer, whoever he is. Pana Habal Apnuya, we don't accept that. Rabbi Yeruchim Pella wanted to claim that some Rishonim had a different gears in the Gemara. We're not machma for his Chumra Sida. So we paskan Pana Habal Apnuya is not a Zayin. On the Shaila is when the girl gets married, how do you fill out the Ksuba? You write Lahado Besulta, she's not a Psula. So that will be covered in a different Shia. Someone else will talk about that. So the Beishmula and Ebenezer writes on Hilchas Zayinah, and the Beishmol writes like this. The Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch only quotes the Rambam. The only time she's a Zayinah, Gioris will get to in a minute, the only time she's a Zayinah is Nivala L'Pasavala. If the woman was Nivala, Ayde Akum, Eved, we don't have Eved Knainim, is Mamza Chola, that we do have. The woman was Nivala to Akum, that's very common. Eved Chola, Mamza, that's a Zayinah. And there's another Tana who's of the opinion, if a girl acts like a prostitute, every night she sleeps with someone else. A Zayna Kipshuta. If the girl is Mazana with different people, she's Asur Lukuna Min Atar. So the Rambam does not paskin like that. And the Shulchan Aruch only quotes the Rambam over here. So the Bishmul says, but if you look in the Rishayim, the Smag and the Smak and this one and that one, the other one, a lot of Rishayim do paskin like that. So the Bishmul recommends that the B'nai Torah should be Choshish for the Shitas of Rishayim, that if a girl was sleeping around every week with someone else, that's also Zayin Asur Lakuna. So that it depends who you're talking to. You're talking to B'nai Yeshiva, you're talking to Balabatim. So in Shulchan Aruch it says Mutter, and the Beis Shmuel has a Chumr. Rabbi Shlomo Kluger wrote very long tshuvas. He had a grandson whose name was also Rabbi Shlomo Kluger. He was born after the grandfather died. By the Ashkenazim, they don't have the practice of naming grandchildren after the grandparents. So the grandson was kind to us. He took over 1,000 tshuvas by the grandfather and he abridged them, and he only took the one or two paragraphs that are crucial halach l'maiz and left out the whole pilpul. Otherwise Rav Shlomo Kluger's tshuvas are very long, it would take you forever to read them. So there's a small little thin volume that's called Ha'elef L'chol Shlomo. It has over 1,000 tshuvas. Each tshuva is less than a page. Each tshuva is only a column or half a column. So in this collection, Ha'alef L'chol Shlomo, he has a tshuva about this topic. What if this single girl went to college? She's very careful, very frum. She never slept with a guy. But she slept with many different boys, but she's very decent about it. Every year she has one boyfriend. She doesn't switch every week someone else. This year, this is her boyfriend, she sleeps with him all the time. Next year, she's miyucheres to this one. So does the chumrah of Zayna Kipshuta, she's mezana with different people, does it apply? So he writes, he doesn't think, even if you want to be choshish for the Beis Shmuel, that if the girl is mezana indiscriminately every week with someone else, that's also asur lakuna. The Rambam says mutter, and the Mechaber says mutter. Even if you want to be machmer, that's only if every week is a different boy. But if every year is a different boy and she's miyucheres to that boy, he thinks that chumrah wouldn't even apply. So that's the din of Zayna. Then you have the Mishnah, you say the Giyor is Asur Lekoyen, and the Rambam quotes Ezi Zayna Hamura Batayra, a Giyoris is a Zayna Hamura Lekoyen. The Ravid is Masig on the Rambam. If a Koyen lives with a Zayna, he's Loike, he gets Malkus. Maybe Giyoris is not really a Zayna, maybe it's only a subcategory of Zayna, maybe it's only an essay, maybe it's this, maybe that. But the din is a Giyoris is Asur Lekoyen. That's clear from the Mishnayos. Just the detail machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. Is it really a lav with malchus, or it's not, or it's at this an iser essay? It's not a full lav with malchus. What's the din? Why should we think that the giyora should be considered a zayna? Because the nochem ashtufe zima. So maybe the girl was nivala benochri yusa before she converted. What if she was nizgara pchusim ibashal l'shana v'yamecha? A Jewish couple can't have any children. They adopt a non-Jewish baby, and then they guard the baby when the baby is a month old. So she can't be nivala the pasala. She couldn't have been nivala ben achriyusa. The parents are taking it, the adoptive parents are watching over the child by the time that they converted her. So this is a machlokes hatanoim in the Gemara. What's the din in Yivamis, if there's kiddushin, if there's gara pchusim ibashal l'shana v'yamecha? The psak halach is that it's osir. Psak halach is that it's osir. The simple reading of the Gemara is that it's a machlokes on the level of the Raisa because they're working with psukim. Does the pasuk imply this? Does the pasuk imply that? The Achrayim have a machlokes. Some of the Achrayim came up with an idea that min haTorah nizgara pchusim b'al shalashon yamechad for sure she's mataris l'kohen, and the whole machlokes only is on the level of the Rabbana. The one who has a strong tshuva on this, Rav Herzog, used to be the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, the second chief rabbi right after Rav Kook. He was chosen as the chief rabbi. So the collection of his tshuvas is called Hechal Yitzchok. So in Chelek Ebenezer, he has a long tshuva on this. What's the difference with the Raisa de Rabbanon? So that's where Rav Herzog tries to negotiate. Maybe the Kohanim is Manazeh, Safek Kohanim, because they're only Kohanim Chazokeh, and he's saying this Garib, Chusim Ba'al Shal Shani V'Amechad, is only the Rabbanon. So maybe it's a Safek de Rabbanon Lekula. But still, even if you add two and two, you don't get four. Because that din in the Gemara that a kohen who married b'diyevet, a sofik chalutza, doesn't have to get divorced. It's only in this is leitetsa. The Gemara doesn't say it's mutar l'chatchila for a kohen to marry a sofik chalutza. It's only b'diyevet. The Achrayim extended it the other direction also. If the vada chalutza marries a sofik kohen, and we hold the whole thing as a bluff. We hold the kohen is banazan, not sofik kohen, the vada kohen. Since the days of Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, Reb Kevegan, Achsam Sofer, Waskin, we don't go for that story, that the Kohanim is Manazah Sofer Kohan. So that's why this whole Baba Maisa, that maybe the Kohanim is Manazah Sofer Kohan, they're allowed to marry a Giyoris, Shinizchar and Pus and Bashar Lashon of Yamecha, because only the Rabban and the whole thing is a mistake on top of a mistake. Recently there was a whole big fuss. A certain rabbi from the New York area wrote a psak that if a woman is not Jewish and she marries, she lives with a Jewish man and she becomes pregnant, and then the mother converts when she's pregnant and she gives birth to a baby girl, so the daughter was Hayrasa Shalot Bigdusha Velaydasa Bigdusha. So the daughter is not a Giyoris. The daughter is not a Giyoris. So she should be Mataris Lekuhuna. So somehow everybody knew, all over the country, everybody knew the Kohen wants to marry a girl who is Hayrasa Shalot Bigdusha Bigdusha. That's the address. You go to this rabbi, and this rabbi will fix it for you, he'll say it's mutter. So they finally put the rabbi out of business. It's not true. The Beis Shmuel quotes from the Rambam that Afilam Nisus Teitze. If the Kohen married a girl who was Harosu Shalai Bigdusha, Leidasa Bigdusha, even with the Yevid, you have to get divorced. So for sure, Lachatchila, it's certainly awesome. What kind of a din is that? What kind of halacha is that? Hayrasa shalab bigdushim leidasa bigdushim. So there is an interesting Ravid has comments on the bottom of the Rif, and Yivam is around Daf Kuf or so. It's around Daf Kuf. So the Ravid on the bottom of the Rif writes, the halacha says a kohen has to marry a miyucheses. A kohen has to marry a miyucheses. So if the girl is a geyores, she's not related to anybody in the world. Gershon has got cotton shenaladon. Doesn't have to marry a miyucheses, a descendant from the Nadi Behuda, or a descendant from the Baal Shem Tov. Miyucheses means she has a father. She has a father and a mother. If the parents, she's a yisayma, so she doesn't have parents, and not a lot, but she's a miyucheses, she had a father, she had a mother. What if the girl is a geyores, so the rabbi writes, she has no father, she has no mother. Alpidin, she's not related to anybody. So even if you have hayrosa shelo bigdusha, but they does a big dusha. She has a mother, and she was born to the mother. She's related to the mother, but she's not related to the father. The kurban to the father is only dependent b'shas eroyon, when they had the tashmish. So they find they had tashmish. The mother wasn't Jewish at that time. Then the mother converts, and the daughter is born harasa shalom big dusha. So al pidin, the baby girl has no father. So the Ravid writes kilu. The reason why the kohen is not allowed to marry her because the girl has no yichus at all. She has no father. Not like a Yisayma has a father, he passed away. She has no father, al pidin. So that's a question when you have artificial insemination. If one has artificial insemination, there's a big discussion in the Poskim and the Beis Shmuel, the end of Simen Aleph. Is the child related to the father? Let's say they have artificial insemination from the husband to his own wife. Forget about from some stranger. But the husband to his own wife. So there is an opinion that the Vlad is not Mesiachis to the father, unless the conception occurred in a normal form. If it was done artificially, so the Rabbi Shani Mahal, then the Sabra Bambati, the Vlad is not Mesiachis after the father. So it could be that if you have, the both parents are Jewish, the father and mother both Jewish, but they can't have a conception, they can't have a child. There are people like that, they need assistance of a doctor. So the doctor has to take Zera Habal and give it into the wife. So there are those poskim to say that the child is not miyuchas, it's not misyachas after the father. So it would be a possible question whether the daughter is allowed to marry a kohen. Or let's say the father, the husband is a kohen or a levi, and they can't have children without assistance of a doctor. The doctor has to do artificial insemination from the husband to the wife. So it's a question whether the children are kohanim or not, whether the children are levim. There's a certain Talmud Chacham, I was once speaking about this, that every year Machon Pua has an all-day-long conference in Yerushalayim. So in the past, I always used to be in Eretz Yisrael during that week, the week of Parsha Shmais. They always have, when it says in the Chumash Shifra Pua, they always have the middle of Parsha Shmais, they have their all-day-long conference. So in the past, they used to get me to speak. Now I'm not in Eretz Yisrael that week. I remember one occasion, he asked me to speak, that one speaker after the other, every 20 minutes they have another speaker. People can listen, they come and they go, it's all day long. So I remember I was speaking, so I raised this issue and I mentioned. So in the audience, there was a certain Talmud Chacham, many of you may know who he is. So he's married, he's a kohen, and he can only have children with the assistance of a doctor. So he was very upset when I said that it could be that the kohen who has needed artificial insemination to have children from his own wife, could be the children of Kahanim. So he was very upset. So he came to me after, he says, Shlomo Zalman told me that my children can do. I said, okay. Shlomo Zalman said, so fine. He holds that the Vlad is Mesiachis, but it's not so muskam. Not everybody agrees that a child who's born through artificial insemination is Mesiachis after the donor. Okay, so there is a din that a Gioris is Asur Lekan. There's a din that doesn't apply b'zman as a bu'ula is asur l'kan gadol. Okay, so I'm going to point at kan gadol. So we'll worry about bu'ula l'kan gadol. Okay. There are psule kohol. There are women, there are people who are not allowed to marry anyone in the Jewish family. So the Chumash has a din that a mamzer is not permitted to marry a normal person. There's a machlekes hatanaim, is a gir permitted to marry mamzer? So we paskin, there's a machlekes hatanaim, we paskin kahal gerim lo yikri kohol, they are permitted, the gerim are permitted to marry mamzerim, even though it's permissible, but the children will be mamzerim. So it's not recommended. But the din is that kahal gerim lo yikri kohol, and the paskin says, lo yom ha-mamzer b'kal Hashem, So a mamzer is permitted to marry a ger v'geyeres. What exactly is the definition of a mamzer? It's a big machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnayos. One tan is of the opinion only from eishes ish, a vlad from an eishes ish. A man has an affair with his sister, the vlad will not be a mamzer. A man has an affair with his aunt, it's an eishes karis, the vlad will not be a mamzer. We don't paskin like that. We paskin like Shimon HaTimani, or Shimon HaTimni, whatever his name is in the Mishnah, that the vlad from all chavi krisis is a mamzer. The vlad from chavi krisis is a mamzer. There's another Tana, Rabbi Akiva, holds that vlad from chavi lavin is a mamzer. So the Gemara says we don't accept, and then there are three different variations within Rabbi Akiva, but we don't accept any of the versions of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says that they outvoted him. Whenever Rabbi Akiva disagrees with another single Tana, we say Alocha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavei ro. But if it's keneged chavei rov and keneged the rov, then we don't pass from like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara has a lashon bo unetzaveach al Akiva ben Yosef. Let's all scream together against Rabbi Akiva. We're not going to pass from like him. That's what his chaverim said. Bo unetzaveach al Akiva ben Yosef. Yosef men akol mamzerim. So we don't accept Rabbi Akiva shita. We paskin the vlad is only a mamzer from chavei krisis. Yeah. What exactly is the definition of mamzer? How do you determine whether someone is a mamzer? Let's say a Jewish woman is living with a non-Jewish man. Are the children mamzer? So Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva holds the vlad is a mamzer. Akum v'yevet habo'al bas Yisrael, Rabbi Kiva holds the vlad is a mamzer. And the Gemara says in Yivam is memhamid base, we don't accept Rabbi Kiva's opinion. We pass an akum evet. We don't have an evet, but man is evet 90. Used to have on the plantations in the south, they used to have a lot of Abiknanis. But Lincoln freed the slaves, so in the United States, we don't have any Abiknani anymore. The Hakam al Bob, I saw that we're blessed, we have a lot of that. Hakam al Bob, I saw that we have children. So the Gemara Paskins, La Loch, and then Hammy Base and Yvamas, Hakam al Bob, I saw the Vlad is not a mamzer, I feel a basis ish. Let's say the married woman, Jewish woman married to a Jewish man, has an affair with a non Jewish man. So we Paskin, even though she's an Ashes ish, the Vlad is not a mamzer. Why? That's Eishes Ish. It should be a mamzer because of the Eishes Ish. So the Gemara gives a reason, and there are two girsas what the reason is. So the way it's printed in our Gemara, it says that the only time the Vlad is a mamzer is if the man that she was mezana with has Tvisas Kiddushin with someone else, but doesn't have Tvisas Kiddushin to her. But the Akan doesn't have Tvisis Kedushin, lo ledidov, lo lachrin. He can't have Tvisis Kedushin with anybody, so therefore the Vlad is not a mamzer. The Rashbo quotes the Girsas Agonim that it's totally different. The Girsas Agonim is that the only time the Vlad is a mamzer is if the Vlad is misyachas to a father and a mother who couldn't have had Tvisis Kedushin with each other. The Vlad is mamzer depends on Tvisis Kedushin. When is Kiddushin Tovsin? When is En Kiddushin Tovsin? So if it's only Chayv Elavin, we don't accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion. If it's only Chayv Elavin, we say Kiddushin Atovsin. If it's Chayv Krisis, Kiddushin Anatovsin. So depending on Tvisis Kiddushin, that's what determines whether the Vlad is a Mamzer. Whenever it's Chayv Krisis, the Vlad is a Mamzer. Whenever it's Chayv Elavin, the Vlad is not a Mamzer. It's totally Zebizer. So the way we have the Girsa in the Gemara, if Akam Habal Bas Yisrael, Rabbi Akiva claims the Vlad will be a mamzer. We don't accept his opinion. Why? Because the Akam doesn't have Tvisis Kiddushin, lo ledidov, lo lachrini. So therefore, what? What does it mean? It's a little unclear. So the Rashba quotes on that daf, the Girsa Sagoinim, totally different Girsa from the way it's printed in the Vilna Shas. The Girsa is the definition of a mamzer. The Ibn Ezra writes on Chumash, what does the word mamzer mean? So he says it's a combination of two words, me'aim zar. That is from a strange mother. The child who was born has a mother and a father, and the mother and the father were strangers to each other. If you have a single boy and a single girl, they have a child, so they weren't married, but they could have gotten married if they would have wanted to. They could have gotten married. So that's not called a mamzer. In America, that's called an illegitimate child, if the parents were not married. But in halacha, it's not a big yichus. The child should be born from parents who weren't married, but there's no psul. They have a child, there's no psul al pidin. The Vlad is not problematic at all. But if you have a child that has a father and a mother, he's misyachas to the father and to the mother, and the father and mother couldn't have had Tvisis Kiddushin even if they tried to, so then that's a definition of a mamzer. So if, let's say the parents, a brother and a sister, a man with an eishes ish, they couldn't have had Tvisis Kiddushin, so that's called me'aim zar. But if the father is a nochri, and the mother is Jewish, so the Vlad is going to be Jewish. So Alpidin, the Vlad is not related to the father at all. Biologically, it's his father, but Alpi Aloch is not related. There is no Kurba, there is no Yachas between a Yisrael and a Nachri. So the Vlad doesn't have, it's what we would call a halachic immaculate conception. There's only a mother, there's no father. The Catholics say that's not what it means. Immaculate conception means something else, but that's what the Jews always say. Immaculate conception means only a mother, there's no father. They say that's not what they mean. Okay. So the Rashba has the girsa. If the father's a Nochri, the mother's Jewish, so the Vlad only has a mother. The Vlad Alpidin doesn't have a father. So you can't say he has a father and a mother and he couldn't have had Tfis because he only has a mother, he has no father. That's why it's not a mamza. That's the girsa sarajbo. And the girsa, the way we have it in the Gemara, is that the Chayma Ha'avera causes mamzeris. So the Chayma Ha'avera only causes mamzeris if it's lo tapsi kiddushin ledido v'tapsi lachrini. That's a definition of arayis. If it's teifes kiddushin to other people, this man, the Yisrael Habo Aleish Yisish, he could have married any other girl in the world, but he can't marry this woman because she's an Eish Yisish. Habo Alachoso, she can marry anybody else but her brother. He can marry anybody else, but he can't marry his sister. So they could have, each one could have had tefis kedushin with anyone, but to each other, the brother and the sister couldn't have tefis kedushin. But if it's Akam Habo Al Bas Yisrael, that's not such a chayma hoisa. It doesn't have, even though she's an Eishes Ish, since La Tapsi Kedushin Lo Li Didei V'Lo Lachrini, Akam couldn't have had tefis kedushin with anybody, so it doesn't have the chayma ha'avera of Arayis. Arayis by definition means it's osed to some and mutter to others. It's osed to everybody, it's not called Arayis. So that's why the Vlad is not a mamza. So these are two. Rabbi Chana of Asman has an essay about this. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a sefer Chosen Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Engel was a great goyin, so there was a period of time that he wasn't well. He had trouble with his eyes. He wasn't allowed to read. So what is a man going to do? He can't read. His whole life is learning. So he had someone read to him, light reading. So the light reading was Avni Miluim. They were reading to him Avni Miluim. So because he had trouble with his eyes, he couldn't write, he couldn't see well, so he was dictating. So he was dictating, writing. So every paragraph has number one, number two, number three, every paragraph has it up. Then when his eyes were better and he was able to look at it, so whatever he didn't like, he crossed out. So when they had the manuscript, so they printed it, so it goes number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 18, 19, 20, 51, 52, 53. He crossed out the paragraphs that he didn't like. That's the way they printed it. Skipping, hopping numbers in the middle. So this, now they print the Avni Miluim, in the back they have 50 pages, 40 pages, I don't know, Chosen Yosef, the Horus, Rabbi Yosef Engel, on the Sefer Avni Miluim. So he has in there, Chosen Yosef, he has this comment. What's the din if a married woman has artificial insemination from someone other than her husband? So did they violate the Avera of Eish Yisish Zinsa? No. Eish Yisish Zinsa is only violated if they have Tashmish together. They didn't have Tashmish. So if what creates Mamzeris is the Chaymo HaVera of Gili Arayis of Eish Yisish Zinsa Koreis, so then over here we assume they didn't violate that Chaymo HaVera. But if you hold from the other definition that Mamzeris doesn't have to be Bavera, Rabbi Yosef Engel points out that there's a Tosus at the end of the first Perek in Yevamos, Tezainam Abeis, where the Tosus discusses that statement. According to Rabbi Kiva, Akum V'Eved Habo Bas Yisrael, Rabbi Kiva holds Avlad Mamzer. We don't pass like Rabbi Kiva. So Tosus says, what do you mean Akum Habo Bas Yisrael Avlad Mamzer? The Yisra Akum Habo Bas Yisrael is only an Yisra Derabbanon. It's not an Yisra Deraisa. A lot of times it's only an Yisra Derabbanon. So an Yisra Derabbanon makes Mamzer. So Tosus says one suggestion, yes, it makes Mamzer. One suggestion, it'll be a Mamzer in the Derabbanon. Can't be a mamzer min ha-Torah if it's mutter. No. The other opinion in Tosfos is no. It'll be a mamzer min ha-Torah. Even though it's mutter min ha-Torah, it'll be a mamzer min ha-Torah. And then Tosfos says, v'harish and ikar, more correct is that shita. Tosfos gave two answers. So the first answer was, it's possible to have a vlad mamzer, even though it's het the gomer for the couple to have a child like this. Akam ha-bol bas Yisrael is het the gomer min ha-Torah, the holy says only with Rabbanon, but the vlad according to Rebbe Akiva will be a mamzer min ha-Torah. So Tosfos writes for Harish and Iker. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says, wow, you see what Tosfos said? That the definition of Mamzeris doesn't depend on Chaymer HaVeir of Gilei Arayis. By us, that's really the two girsas in the Gemara Mem Hamid Beis. And the Tosfos has the two versions that's within Rabbi Akiva, but we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. We pass like the Rabbanu, so it should depend on the two girsas. So he doesn't distinguish Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanu. He just says, Taisus said v'harishan ikir. So you see that you can have a child to be a mamzer, even though they didn't violate any aver at all, had to gomer. So he assumes that by artificial insemination to an ashes ish, there's no violation of leisinov, but still, the child has a father, the child has a mother. He assumes that by artificial insemination, the child is mesachis after the father. That's questionable. Like Rav Shlomo Zalman told this rabbi, that your children can duchen, even though it's through artificial insemination, that he is the father. So Yosef Engel says it should come out that the child should be a mamzer. If you have artificial insemination from someone other than the husband, the child should be a mamzer, even though they didn't violate any aver at all of Eishes Ishes. Many years ago, I used to ask Rav Soloveitchik about this shaila, that a married woman has artificial insemination and the donor is someone other than her own husband, if the donor is a nochri, so the worst it can be is Akam HaBo Basisola Vlad Kosher, but if the donor is a Jew, maybe the Vlad should be a mam, since he always used to say in public, I don't know, could be the Vlad is mam. Still, Rav Moshe printed the tshuva, it's not a mamzer, so he didn't want to discuss it. So the Rav said, Rav Moshe said, it's not a mamzer, that's the end of the story. Let's not go into the discussion why he's right or wrong. Rav Moshe was a tzaddik, so we're going to follow his psak. But he, for many years, he used to say, he's not sure. Maybe artificial insemination, if the donor is a Jew, maybe the Vlad should be a mamzer. He wasn't so convinced that it should mamzer should depend on having violated the Yisra of Loisina. That's like Rabbi Yosef Engel has like that. See, the Beis Shmuel in the end of Siman Aleph in Ebenezer discusses the funny case that the Gemara talks about, that could be that it's medically impossible. The Gemara talks about a possibility, Nisabra Bambati. A woman goes bathing in a bathhouse, and there was a man there before her, and he shot out Sheikh Vazera into the water, and the Sheikh Vazera floats into her body, and she becomes Muberis. Highly unlikely, question whether it's even possible, but Gemara talks about such a possibility. Nisabra Bambati. So the Beis Shmuel, at the end of Siman Aleph, quotes Rishonim, would say that if a woman is Nisabra Bambati, the Vlad is not Mesiachis after the father. So that's a question. Does that mean to say that the only time the Vlad is Mesiachis after the father is if they did a Maisa Tashmish? What if they did artificial insemination? It was done on purpose. Nisabra Bambati was accidental. Maybe if they did artificial insemination, maybe then the Rabbeinu Peretz, the Rishon that he quotes is the Hagos Rabbeinu Peretz on the bottom of the smock. The Sefer Mitzvah's code. Maybe the Rabbeinu Peretz would agree in such a case that if they did artificial insemination, the Vlad is Mesiachis after the father. So that's questionable, not that clear. So this is the Shaila. If one should assume the Vlad is not Mesiachis after the donor, even when it's done artificial insemination, it's done on purpose, so then the Vlad can be a mamzer. Because the only time it's going to be a mamzer is if Vlad has a... Either if they violated Loisinov, which they didn't, we assume there's no Loisinov, or if the Vlad has a father and a mother, couldn't have Tfis Gedushin. Here it's a immaculate conception. If he didn't, the child only has a mother, he has no father. So that's the issue involved. Anyway, today, the Psak HaMakubal is like Rav Moshe, that the child born through artificial insemination, even though the donor was a Jew and the woman was an Eishes Ish, we assume that the Vlad is not a mamzer. What's a din of the Suffolk mamzer? So normally we would say Suffolk deraisa lechumer. So the Gemara has a pasuk here. No, Suffolk mamzer is mutam in haTorah. The Mishnah is talking about shtuki ba'sufi. Shtuki means the woman gives birth to the baby. We know who the mother is. Whenever the child asks, who is my father? So the mother says, keep still, don't ask any questions. So shtuki means we know who the mother is, we don't know who the father is. So it could be that the father is her brother. Could be she had an affair with her brother. Brother was ma'anasar, and she doesn't want to tell anybody who it is. So that's considered a Suffolk mamzer. A Sufi means that they brought a child and they left it on the steps of the police station. They gave up a child for adoption. We don't know who the father is, we don't know who the mother is. So it could be that it's a goy, it could be it's a Jew, could be it's a mamzer. You don't know why they give up the child. That's called an asufi. The shtuke basufi are considered the Suffolk mamzer, and the Gemara says they're awesome at the rabbanon. And Atarah Safik Mamzer is Mutter, and the Rabbanan they asked it. Some people don't get that far in the Shev Shmaitzeh, but the first chapter, many people have read. So in the first chapter of the first, there were seven big essays, and each essay has broken down to various chapters. So in the first chapter, the first essay of the Shmaitzeh Aleph, He quotes Achrayim who say that a Sofeg Mamzer is mutam in HaTorah to marry two wives. He's allowed to marry a Mamzeris and he's allowed to marry a Kshera. Sofeg Mamzer is mutter in either direction and in both Bevasachas. He can marry two wives. One is a Vadai Kshera, one is a Vadai Mamzeris. You go to Kula in both directions, even though it's a Tarte de Sasri. That's a Chiddush. A nine fall of a Chiddush. But with the Rabbanan, we say Sofeg Mamzer is us. Yeah. There is a Gemara in the last parak in Kedushin. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi knew regarding a certain family in Eretz Yisrael that there was Mamzeris in the family. So he told his students quietly, privately, discreetly, don't marry anybody from that family because they're a Mamzerim over there. So why didn't he publicize it? Why didn't he tell the whole public? Why didn't he print it in the newspapers? They're Mamzerim, they shouldn't marry. So the Gemara says, Mishpacha shenitma'o, nitma'o. If there's mamzeris, a sofik mamzer is awesome at the Rabbanan. But midatar it's only yasser if you have yediyas ha-mamzeris. If it's not yedua, so it's mutter. Mid the Rabbanan we say a sofik yediyah is also called yediyah. But what if it's not yedua at all? The people in the family have already forgotten. No one knows. No one knows. It's already a few generations later. Nobody remembers the whole story. That a woman remarried, she never got a get, and she had a child from the second husband. It's already grandchildren, great-grandchildren. The whole story is not known. The public doesn't know, and the family doesn't know. So, mamzer sheni yedu is even mutter mid rabbanan. Why did Reb Yehuda Anasi tell the students not to marry them if it's mutter and mutter? And the Gemara says, no. Ein hashchina shara ela al mishpachas miyachas shav Yisrael. If you want to have a chance that your children should have a hashruas hashchina, to make sure you don't marry a girl who has a psul mamzeris, even though strictly speaking, it's mutter. But strictly speaking, mamzer sheni yedu is a heter gomer. Rabbi Chana Wasserman has an essay. In Europe, before the war, there used to be a Torah journal that was called Yagdal Torah. And recently, they took all the Yagdal Torahs, they put them together in a thin volume. The editor used to be Rabbi Mendel Kashin, who later on was the editor of the whole Torah Shlema project and many other fascinating works on halacha. So they had the prominent Hasidish Rabbanim and Mesnagish Rabbanim. Ger Rebbe used to participate. Harab Lazer Silver from America used to participate. And Rabbi Chana Wasserman also participated every so often. So Rabbi Chana has a whole essay where he puts together several of the different cases where we say Sofik Derais and Lekula Mederais. Sofik Arla B'chutz Loretz is Mutter and Sofik Mamzev is Mutter. And he explains the nature of the Kula. So he has the following statement, Halacha L'maisa. I can read a shidduch, a boy and a girl. I know that one of them is a vadei mamzer, the one is not, but they don't know. Mamzer sheni yadur. So I can read a shidduch, I can be mesadik kiddush, and it's all mutter. Why? The Gemara says, I have an orla tree, orla b'chutz lord, but you don't know that it's orla. The Gemara, I can give you the orla fruit to eat. As long as you don't know, there's only lifnei v'lisit mechshol if you're doing an aveira. And if it's orla sheni yadur, it's vadei orla, it's not sofeg orla, but there's no yediyas orla on your part. So the Gemara says in Kiddushin, the end of the first Perek, the Rabbanim in Bavel, they didn't throw out the Orla. It's a Hefsid Mam, Shad the Gel. So they used to feed the Orla to each other. They would give the other guy the Orla. They wouldn't tell him that it's Orla. So the Gemara says, Orla Sheni Yadua is Mutter. So he says, that's the same over here. Mamza Sheni Yadua is Mutter, even in the Rabbanim. He says, it's not so smart to read such a Shidduch. They'll be married with nine children, and then one of them is going to find out the other guy's a Mamzer. Then they're going to have to get divorced. Then the jig is up. Then all the nine children are going to be declared as mamzer. Maybe it's not so wise to read such a shidduch and to let them get married. But he says, strictly speaking, the din is that a mamzer sheni yodua is mutter even the rabbon. That's the Gemara. Mishpacha shenitma o nitma with an ayin. If mamzer is blended into the family, so that's mamzer sheni yodua is mutter even the rabbon. If it's a sofik mamzer, so that was the chumer with the rabbon that yediyah sofik shmo yediyah. But if there isn't even a yediyah sofik, then it's even mutter mid rabban. There was a debate here in the yeshiva, about 10 years ago. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva to Dayan Grosner. Dayan Grosner used to be the head of the London Bezin. After Rav Abramsky moved there, it's so after he retired, so Dayan Grosner was appointed. He passed away already 20 years ago. Dayan Grosner retired to Eretz Yisrael, and he passed away a long time ago. So Grosner wrote a whole tshuva. Grosner learned in Radin the same time as Rabbi Gerella. So that was the connection with our yeshiva. So Dayan Grosner wrote a whole tshuva, halacha lemaisa, about the following practice. Many batidinim, many fine bekavadika batidinim had a practice when they were megayer a woman, So what are you going to have? The woman is undressed in the mikveh. You're going to have three rabbis with long beards standing there. Watch the woman go into the mikveh. How can you do that? So we have the rabbanim would stand across the street or outside, and they would tell the mikveh lady, tell us that you were tovel a woman in the mikveh, no chatzitza, shine, so everything is good. So this was the practice in many communities. And other rabbanim said, no, the bezna has to be there in the room. So tell a woman to put on a loose robe. So we'll watch her when she's tovel in the mikveh. Tell her to turn her head away, whatever. We'll worry about the tznius issues. We'll take care of what to worry about. You have to be careful about the tznius issues, but the bezna has to be there in the room. They should see. So the shaila was, do you have to be makbid about this or not? So he claimed, during Rosh Hashanah, pilpul, based on Rishonim in the beginning of mitzvahs chalitza, that they have to see. They have to see the chalitza. Not good if they supervise the chalitza. They have to watch every step of the chalitza. So Rav Moshe said, he's maskim, it's a sveke ledina, it's a machlokes of Rishonim, and a woman who was converted, that was the practice in America. Many rabbanim did like that. The bezin wouldn't go into the mikveh, they'd stay outside. They'd rely on the mikveh lady to tell them that the gioris was tevil in the mikveh. So Rav Moshe says the proper practice is such a woman should be tevil again in the presence of the bezin to make sure that the gioris is valid. Believe bracha, because maybe the first gioris was good, maybe it's not good. A shaila did. So the shaila was the grandmother. We're holding already by the third generation later. The grandmother was Megayer. And we know that the rabbi who was Megayer her always had that practice. He never would, his bezin would never stand in the mikveh room when the woman would be Megayer. So should we tell all the grandchildren? And they're learning all over in the yeshivas, all over the place, and Lakewood and New York, all over the place, and South Africa. They have grandchildren all over. You have to tell everybody. Everybody should be tovel in the mikveh, be Megayer again, be Sofik, or you just leave it the way it is. So Rav Moshe doesn't go into the detail. Rav Moshe just writes to, Rav Moshe didn't know the name. He thought his name was Grosnam. So he has a misprint in the Jew. His name was Grosnas, label Grosnas. The Jew was a Lev Aryeh, because his name was Label. So Rav Moshe just says, Misafik, the ger should be tevil again. So one of the Rabbanim in the yeshiva said, Mishpacha shenitma nitma. If we don't know who it is, it's ready. They don't even know that there's an issue that the grandmother, great-grandmother was Megayer improperly. So you leave it the way it is. So everybody disagreed with this Talmud Chacham, and we said that it's not correct. Mishpacha shenitma nitma only applies to mamzeris with a suffix mamzeris mutam and Torah. So that's what Rabbi Chanan explains in his essay in the Yagdol Torah, that yedias ha-mamzeris is a condition in the Yisr. If there's a lack of yedias ha-mamzeris, then it's mutam and Torah. So yediyah sofik is a chumra midirabbana. No yediyah at all is mutar even midirabbana. But by goyis, if you have a non-Jewish person, even if it's not your dua, a goy is a goy. There is no halacha that yediyah ha-goyis is a condition in the yisr. If you don't know that the other person is not Jewish, I can read a shidduch. One is Jewish, one is not Jewish, I can read a shidduch as long as they don't know that they're not both Jewish. You're not allowed to do that. So this was a debate among the rabbanim and the yeshivas. I remember... there was a Dayan Batsri. There is a Dayan, I think he's still alive. A Svadish Dayan. So he once visited America. They were negotiating something. He should be connected with the RCA Bez. So he was here in the yeshiva across the street on the third floor. He was there for a couple of hours walking in the hall. So someone said, that's Dayan Batsri. So all the rabbis gathered around. We started asking him Shilas and Ebenezer, different things in Ebenezer. So we asked him this Shilas. He said, what, are you crazy? Of course it's not mutter. Mishpacha shenitma is only a mamzer. It doesn't apply to guys. So he said, would you do us a favor and write a tshuva on that? So he said, write a tshuva. It's baby stuff. People will laugh at me if I write a tshuva. Of course it's also. What is there to discuss? So we're pleading with him because one of the rabbanim in yeshiva said, Mishpacha shenitma. He said, he's not going to write a tshuva. It's a dava pashut that it's us. I thought also it was dava pashut that it's us. There is a din of chumash that a tzuladaka krushavcha is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. He's permitted to marry a gioris, but he's not because kahal gam leikri kol. But he's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl who's not a gioris. What's the definition of tzuladaka krushavcha? So the Gemara has a lot of details, and Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi has a lot of details. When does it have the status of tzuladaka? So the Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Achrayim, the early Achrayim, that halacha zu. You have to ask a doctor, is this person able to hoilid? If he's right to hoilid, then by definition it's not called a tzuadaka krushavcha. Some of the Rishonim had a Yerushalmi, a difference between the Beitz Yimonis and the Beitz Smolis, and the doctors today say it doesn't make a difference. The Lashon that they usually say is when there's a Shaila, They say he can populate the whole world. So sometimes you have boys who are Tzuadaka Krushavcha. So the din is, the Mishnah says, Tzuadak b'dei shamayim. If he was born like that, then there's no isur Tzuadak. It's only if it was done b'dei Adam. And then also, let's say he was hit by lightning. That's b'dei shamayim. So such a Tzuadak is mutter. Let's say he was in an automobile accident and became a Tzuadak. Also, that's probably b'dei shamayim, I think. Probably b'dei shamayim. What if he was hit? There used to be Amram Bloy, before your times. And Meir Shorim, there used to be a colorful character, Amram Bloy. He would stand around the corner with a whole bunch of people around him, and if a woman would enter who wasn't dressed properly, they have this big sign, Benois Yisrael, you shouldn't walk to the Roshet, Bil Titznuah. So he would stand there, and he would paskin Pritza. In our language, that's Prutza. And they all start screaming, Pritza, 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 Pritza. They were just, she's not allowed to enter Meir Shorim because she's not dressed properly. The Americans didn't know what was the ceremony. They didn't know what hit them. They didn't know the Hebrew side. They didn't know what was going on. That was his, he was a colorful person. So he was married. He was an old gentleman. He was married from the Turi character. So after his wife died, he married a nightclub dancer, a French guitarist, who used to be, in her former life, she used to be a nightclub. So it was such a scandal. It was written up in Time magazine, and newspaper, New York Times. What in the world is going on? What did he marry a nightclub? So it was such a scandal. So you had to say that in the Melchemet HaShechrur, he became a Tzuadaka, and he wasn't allowed to marry a Jewish girl. And so from the time that he became a Tzuadaka, he wasn't permitted to live with his wife. That Gioris, that she was involved in Yosala. When they kidnapped Yosala, she was the. No one knows who Yosala is. Yosala Schumacher. There was a child who was an Israeli child. The parents were not religious, and the grandparents were religious. So they were very upset. They're raising the child as a chiloni in Eretz Yisrael. So the grandparents were upset about it. So this, the almana, he had already passed away. So this almana, this nightclub dancer, the Gioris, she was the mastermind. So they kidnapped the child, and they hid him out in Meir Shorim for a while. Then they sent him to Europe, and then they had the international police were looking for him. They finally found him, and they brought him back to the parents, and now he's an absolute 100% chiloni. They write him up in the newspapers every couple of years. Here is Yosel, and look what he looks like, a gangster. With tight jeans, and with a shirt open, and half undressed. That was the whole story with Yosel. Anyway, so that was... He wrote it up in all the international newspapers. It was a whole scandal years ago. That Amar Boy became a Tzuadaka. That's what he wasn't allowed to marry a Jewish girl. You should know everybody study Chumash and Rashi, so there's a Sivse Chachamim on Rashi. I never look in the Sivse Chachamim. But apparently the Chassam Sofer did read the Sivse Chachamim. So the Sivse Chachamim has on the Pasuk of Tzuadaka that this prohibition only is if he married the girl when he was already a Tzuadaka. What if he married a girl and he became a Tzuadaka later? Bidei Adam. Here he became a Tzuadaka because of the bombs. In the Melchemet HaShechrur, that's called Bidei Adam. So the Siv Sachachamim writes, then there's no prohibition. He's allowed to remain with his wife. So the Chassam Sofer quotes this in the Tshuva in Chelek Amenah, and says, with all due respect, it's against the Beferish and Mishnah. Mishnah in Yavam, it says Beferish. The man became a Tzuadaka later in marriage. He's not allowed to be with his wife. Does he have to give his wife a get, or can they live? That's a different thing. Amram Bloy never gave his wife a get, but he didn't live with her. Then after she died, then he married the Gioris. Rav Moshe has the famous tshuva, which is very questionable. What if the man became a Tzuadaka b'dei Adam because they did surgery, which they had to do mishum pikuach nefesh? So there's an iser, b'yatzachem lo isasa, you're not allowed to be misaris a person. But mishum pikuach nefesh, you allow it. Sometimes a person has an infection or something. The only way to save his life is to do a surgery and to make him into a saris. So we would allow the surgery. So Moshe has a chiddush based on the Sefer Achinuch. Sefer Achinuch says the reason why Tzuadaka is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl is because they violated the aveir of sirus. So it's a harchoka to the isav sirus. But if there was a hetter to do the sirus because it was a pikuach nefesh, then that's like a rischama. That's like a tzuadak b'dei shamayim that is mutter to marry. So this one, Rav Moshe published that tshuva. There was a whole hullabaloo. In Lakewood, they were very angry. What do you mean? Dashin and time of the crop. The Yisra Tzvodaka only applies when they violated something, the Yisra. If they did this operation, the Heter, then it's not a Tzvodaka. Anyway, so it's questionable. That's Rav Moshe holds like that. That if he became a Tzvodaka bidei Odom, because it was necessary for Pikuach Nefesh purposes, the Rav Moshe held also, Pikuach Nefesh, let's say sometimes a person keeps on getting an infection, he's going to keep on taking medication. Every time he gets an infection, he's going to take medication. Bifal is Ashir, 20 times in his lifetime. He can die younger because of this. So Pikuach Nefesh doesn't only mean I'm going to die today. Pikuach Nefesh means if I think I'm going to die younger than I should, my life expectancy is whatever. People live today till 85, 95, whatever. So if he's going to keep on getting infection, keep on taking medication, so Rav Moshe used to be Mekel, that's also called the Sofik Pikuach Nefesh sometimes. If the doctors think that every time he gets an infection, he's going to take a medication, this could be Mekatza his life. So it's also called the Sofik Pikuach Nefesh, and we would permit the act of Siras, and that would be considered a Siris Chama, a Ptzuadak B'dei Shamayim, that it should be Mutta. The Chumash only has a din of Ptzuadaka by a male, where the Eivari HaLeida were tampered with in such a fashion that he's not Roi L'Holi. What about by a woman? Let's say a woman had a hysterectomy, they took out the whole rechem. So is there such a din, Tzvodaka by a female, that the woman is not allowed to marry? So there's a commentary on the Rambam that nobody reads anymore. I was once at Meir Shorim, so they were selling it for a dollar. So I bought it. Rabbi David Aramor. Rabbi Kimege quotes it every so often. So I figured I'll buy it, then I'll see. Here's the original safe. As it turns out, the only things of value that he ever says, I quoted already by Rebbe Kivagin. He gives Marmikimes on the Rama. We have the Kes Mishnah already. So we don't need this Rab David Aramor. And then the four or five things that he says that no one else says, so they're all quoted. Rebbe Kivagin quotes, he's the one who says, you're not allowed to plant trees in the Chotzer Beis HaKnesses because L'sita lo chashera kalei tzeitzel mizbach Hashem alakecha. So he has over here also, in the later Paskim talking, he holds that midirabbanon, a female psuadaka, is also midirabbanon. So if a woman had a hysterectomy, say if Rav Moshe would say if they did the hysterectomy for refuah purposes, it was a suffix sakana, that there was something cancerous there and they had to take it out, so then Rav Moshe would say that that's called bidei shamayim. But let's say they did it, they made the woman into a soris, bidei odom, not the heter. There was no heter. So this Rav David Aramor holds that there's an Issa to marry. There's a tshuva in the Nezer HaKodesh. Nezer HaKodesh was a prominent Talmud Chacham. He wrote on all of Kachin. He wrote Nezer HaKodesh on Zvachim and Menachos, all the Mesichtas. You learn his Sefer, it's like learning with a Chavrusa. He raises all the issues and he says, maybe Ahin and it's wrong, maybe Aher and this is right, it's wrong. He quotes everything. So he has a volume of Shadas and Tshuvas also. Rav Moshe Rosen, his name was. So he was a mechutin of Rav Tzvi Pesel Frank, so they used to sometimes correspond. So they published this correspondence also. He has a tshuva, and the tshuva's name is Rakodesh. He has a tshuva. He says we don't paskin like this. Rav David Aramor is einfav that by a female there should be a din of tzuadakim midirabban. The Gemara has a fantastic mechudish digadin in Yavam is that einfav and mit aleph, an obscure din. If a kohen is a tzuadaka la bigdushos ekoi, he doesn't have the full din of a kohen. And he's permitted to marry a Gioris. Kohen is usually not allowed to marry a Gioris, like a Zaino, or a subcategory of Zaino, whatever it is. But a Kohen is put so dark, a labik du shasi Kohen. So it's a tricky Gemara, how to read the Gemara there. What exactly is the logic? What's the rationale behind it? So there's a question, does it mean a Kohen so dark, a labik du shasi Kohen, he can marry a Grusha, and a Chalutza, and a Zaino also, or only a Gioris? So some of the early Achraim, if I'm not mistaken, I think in the Derech HaChaim Siddur, I think he says that Kohen Tzvodak is permitted to marry Grusha also. I think that's where I saw it. But Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole shir on that Gemara in Yevamos that it's not so. He thought that Kohen Tzvodak is only allowed to marry a Gioris, that's all. Recently, about 20 years ago, there was a prominent Talmud Chacham in Milwaukee, I think he lives. So there was a Kohen who, what do you call it, vasectomy? A kohen who was a tzuadaka, and he wanted to marry Gioris, and then after he was going to marry the Gioris, then he wanted to undo the vasectomy. There's a way to undo it. So then he won't be a tzuadaka anymore. So then he wanted to say, hold the hutra, hutra. There's a Gemara that sometimes says Let's say a Kohen marries an Almana. Kohen is allowed to marry an Almana. Marries an Almana, then they appoint him to be a Kohen Gadol. Is he allowed to remain with the wife who's an Almana? So the Mishnah says in Yevamos, Amachal of Manalev, that it's Mutter, because at the time that he got married, he was Behed. So that's the question, how far do you go with this? So there was a whole pilpul about this. So he wrote Shuvis. The Kohen was a Tzuadaka, wanted to marry a Gioris. Then after he got married, he wanted, the plan was, after he's going to get married, then they're going to reverse the bisectomy, and he'll be able to have children. So that was the whole pilpul, whether the Cheshbon was correct or not. There is a din of chumish that one is not permitted to be machzik gerush asay. If I married a woman and I divorced her, and then she married someone else, and then the second husband dies or divorces her, I'm not allowed to remarry her. What if she was mezana in between? I divorced my wife, she's mezana with someone else. The Gemara says, if zinsa bintayim, there's no din of machzik gerush asay. Only if she was married, only if she was married to the second husband. What if she was married to the second husband? She only had erisin. She never had nisuin with the second husband. So the pasuk says, "Yuchel b'ayla rishon asheshuch loshav lekachta acharei asher hu tamo'o," because she was living with the second husband. Acharei asher hu tamo'o. So one Tana says, Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, he's not a prominent, he doesn't appear that often in the Gemara, in the halachic literature, we hardly ever come across his name. Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, it's in Yevamos Daf Yiral. Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur says, "Only machzik gerushas min anisuin, if she had nisuin with the second husband." She was living with the second husband. She only had erisin. They weren't living together. The din doesn't apply. So we don't accept his opinion. We paskin machzik gerushasay. I feel him in her erisin. Even if she only had erisin with the second husband, she's still not allowed to marry the first husband. So what do you do with the phrase acharei asher hu tamo? So the chachamim say no. You have to interpret the pasuk as if it has a semicolon. Loicha balerishan sheshuch doloshav lekachta. That's machzik gerushasay. Semicolon. If an Eishes Ish is Zinsa, that's Hutamor. If a woman is living with her husband, that's not called Hutamor. If I divorce my wife and she marries someone else and she lives with the second husband, that's Hetagoma. How can you call it Acharei Asher Hutamor? So the Chacham is saying, no, Acharei Asher Tamor doesn't go on Machzik Rishasai. It goes on Saito. The din is that if a woman is married and she's Mizana Tachas Baila, so there's an essay of Vinitmo, it says three times Vinitmo, Vinitmo, Vinitmo. So there's an Iser essay, and that's by a Saita Sofik. If the husband doesn't know for sure, there's only Kini and Stira. What if she's a Saita Vadai? You know for sure that she was Mizana. So in addition to the Iser essay, there's also an Iser Lav of Liyichot Balerishan, Acharei Asher Hu Tamo. That's how we paskin. Masa Gushosa comes up sometimes. There's nothing wrong. I have a classmate of mine who is a Musmuch of the Yeshiva who's married to the same wife for the third time. Somehow he divorced his wife, they remarried, he divorced the second time, remarried. That's mutter. She never married anybody else in between. I don't think she was mizana in between either. That's permissible. Love is better the second time around, the third time around. I'm still married to the first wife the first time. But some people are married to the same wife for the third time. So that's not an isa machzik gerushasa. It's only prohibited machzik gerushasa if she marries someone else in between. And the next husband dies or divorces her, then the first husband is not allowed to remarry her. So that's a din machzik gerushasa. There's a din of Saita, learned that from the same Pasuk, Acharei Asher Hu Tamo. So the din of Saita is only the Hilon is Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Parshas Saita and Parshas Nosai, the Hilon is Pasuk. If she's an Eishes Ish, Shenenso, she's Materis L'Bailo, provided the husband is not a Kohen. If he's a Kohen, then she's called a Zaina, even though she was Nenso. But if she's married to a Levi or Yisrael, so if Nenso is Materis. The question is, what's the definition of Nenso? So in every generation they used to have these kind of stories. Amakubal came from Eretz Yisrael, Amashulah came, and he convinced the woman that Mashiach, that she has to become pregnant with Mashiach today. And the husband is not here, so he has to make her pregnant with Mashiach. And if she's not going to sleep with him, Mashiach is not going to come. You don't want to hold back Mashiach. So this holy tzaddik, Makubal from Eretz Yisrael. So in every generation this happened, and they always have tshuvas about this. The woman thought it's mutter. Let's say she was absent at Beis Yankiv that day that they taught Lysinov. She never heard that there's an Issa Lysinov, but she knows she's sleeping with someone other than her husband. So the Ramah, in the end of Ebenezer, you have Hilchas Soita. So the Ramah writes in Hilchas Soita, he quotes the Maharik. The Pasuk says, Amo al amal b'isha. It doesn't say Amo al amal b'ashem. She violated the Aver. It says, Amo al amal b'isha. She slept with someone other than her husband. As long as she knows that this is not her husband, even though she thought it was Beheta, she never heard of the din of Lysinov. She was absent when they taught that. or she thought she has to bring Mashiach, it's Het HaGomer, so the din still is that she's Asur al-Bail. We assume that Gilei HaRais, she's in, so it's Gilei HaRais. We assume that Pikuach Nefesh is not Derech Gilei HaRais. What if it's Pikuach Nefesh for all of Klal Yisrael? So that's the Beishmuel in the end of Eben Ezra, the Siman of Saita says that was the story with Esther. Esther originally was living with Achashverosh Ba'onis, and then she said she's going to go be Mizana with Achashverosh to be friendly with him and try to break the Gzeir against the Jews. And then she says, Kasher Avadati Avadati. So the Gemara understands what it means is that she was really married to Mordechai, and now she's an Eshes Ish. Shazinsa Biratza. Until now she was Ashish and Ensa. She was afraid he's gonna kill her. Why don't say Yoharg Vayavar? So the Gemara has a whole explanation. Why was she permitted to live with Achashverosh, even though it was Bainan? She should have said Yoharg Vayavar. So the Gemara has a discussion of that. So the Gemara says, up until the time that she decided to go on her own, it was called Ashish and Ensa. From that time on was Ashish Shazinsa Biratza. So the Beishmul quotes from the Ma'arik, she was permitted to be Mizana with Achashverosh for the sake of HaKolos HaTzolos Klal Yisrael, but she still became Asura Labailo, because it was still Mo'ala Mal B'Isha. It wasn't Mo'ala Mal B'Hashem, it was Behet HaGama, but it's still Mo'ala Mal B'Isha. So that's a Shaila that comes up, Halacha L'Maisa. If everything depends on Mo'ala Mal B'Isha, what if her husband gave her permission to be Mizana? There was an incident years ago. It probably comes up often. A couple were not well adjusted in marriage, and the wife said she doesn't have pleasure when she's with her husband. So her husband said, it's your fault. And she said, it's his fault. He said, I'll prove it to you that it's your fault. So he, in business, he has a shutuf with a non-Jew. So he invited the non-Jew, and he said, told his wife, go have an affair with the goyish partner. And she was still not happy, even with the goy. So he said, you see, it's your fault. You're the one who doesn't enjoy being with men. It's not my fault. So the shaila was, the husband encouraged his wife. He was trying to prove to the wife that she's the one who's not well adjusted in the marriage. He gave her permission to be Mizana. He said, the permission doesn't help. She was still in violation of Lysinov. But it's not a Mo'ala Mal B'Isha. So can you really rely on that? L'Hakel. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote this Diuk. The Ramah quotes the Maharik at the end of Eben Ezra. Mo'ala Mal B'Isha, the woman thought it was Mutter. She was with the Meshulach, with the Mekubal. So she thought it was mutter for the sake of bringing Moshiach into the world, but she knew that it was somebody other than her husband. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote this dear Kamal Amal B'Isha, Lahachmir, that it's not called Eishesish Shezinsa Ba'oinus. But would you say it Lahokel, that if the husband gave her permission to be Mizana, so there's no Mo'ala Mal B'Isha, so there's room to be Mekel? So the Abdei Nezer has a tshuva about that. Moshe wrote a tshuva also. I'm not sure what he wrote. Moshe wrote a tshuva to my father about that. I don't remember what it says now. The Gemara has a chiddush din shochuf mikanim al yoda poisel lechuma. That's the Gemara. So what's the definition of shochuf? The husband is choshed his wife that she's having an affair with a man who is a shochuf. So the Gemara says mikanim al yoda. If the husband does kinui and she does stira, she becomes asura abayla. And poisel lechuma. If the shochuf is a goy or the shochuf is a mamzer, and she will be nivul alapasala. So it'll be psula. So what's the definition of a shochuf? So the Rambam doesn't learn like Rashi and Tez. Rambam learns. Rashi and Tez learn shochuf, an old sick man. It's highly unlikely that my wife is having an affair with this guy. He's 150 years old. He's not having an affair with anybody. He has no interest in him. The whole story sounds crazy. So that's how Tez learned. The Rambam says no. Shochuf means one who medically cannot have kishui aver. He cannot have an erection of deva zachris. So the Rambam is a chiddush. We paskin that hamishamish beva meis is not called is not chayv misa, is not chayv malkus. So if the man is medically unable to have kishi aver, how can it be a din of eishesish ezinso? So the Rambam has a chiddush. Nonetheless, it's a din of eishesish ezinso. So that's a serious topic. Sometimes women get carried away, so they have an affair with someone else, but they use a condom. So the shaila is, if you have a chatzitza, does it become an eishes ish shezinso? Since there was a davar chaytzeitz, but they had pleasure, they had anoa. So there's a sefer that was published by Dr. Revel, used to be the president of the yeshiva, before I was born, before Dr. Belkin. So he had a son, Herschel Revel, no relation. So Herschel Revel put out a sefer called Oitzer HaSoto. It just deals with the Rambam Hilchos Sota, only three prokem, I think, and he quotes everything there is to know. It's obvious from the Sefer that someone else helped him do the work on the Sefer. Okay, because there are so many Marmakams. He discusses this already in the 1930s and the 1940s. He quotes, I think, 9 Chulasvarim that were printed in Europe. They all say that even if a man is mishamish with tashmish with a condom, it still asks labaila, it still has the regular din of tashmish. There were those who thought that not so, based on a passage in the Mishamish. They quotes all the pasuk that it's not a tzad lahok. The zaynumis that pasuk in the chumash lois is chatmam, you're not allowed to marry zaynumis, there's a din of amayna mayor, but there's a din of mitzvah v'adoymis. So the Gemara says that we pasken bezmanazeh, none of this applies, because basan chervet bilbalus kol ha'olam kuloi. So no one has that identity. They're around somewhere, their descendants are around somewhere, but they lost their status of Amoyneh, Mayovi, Mitzvah, Daim, and so on. Shad is whether Amalek, the Rambam never writes, the Rambam writes by the Zaynumis at Kfar Obad Zichron. He never wrote by Amalek at Kfar Obad Zichron. So is there a din of Amalek, this man Azeh? So that's another discussion for another time. Abuel Aram is to be intermarried is clearly an Iser. The Shaila is it only an Issa de Rabban, and there was an Issa de Raisa? So the Gemara says that the Bezdino shall, the later Batidina goes on this. Bezdino shall Shema is Geyser, Bezdino shall Chashmenoi was Geyser, and then the Bezdino of Bezhilo and Beshama was Geyser. So it sounds like it's only an Issa de Rabban. So the Beishmul Evan Ezra quotes the Chidush Haran has two opinions. Boel Aramis Beferhesi, Kanoi and Pogimbo. Boel Aramis Betsino, there's no din of Kanoi and Pogimbo, but maybe it's still an Issa de Raisa. So he has 2 days. Ramshik has a tshuva, he thinks the yikir is that Boel Aramis Betzina is also an Issa Derais. What's the difference whether it's an Issa Derais? An Issa Rabban is still an Issa. Intermarriage is still an Issa. So the Ramshik has a tshuva, questionable tshuva, that a man is living with a non-Jewish woman. So we may succeed in convincing the woman to convert, but if she's going to convert, we know that she's not going to observe Taras HaMishpoch. If she says, I promise to observe everything but Taras HaMishpoch, I can't accept such a convert. She doesn't say, but we know we're not going to talk about Taras HaMishpoch. Shabbos, Kashrus, maybe. Taras HaMishpoch is out of the question. So the question is, so what are we going to accomplish by converting her? She's going to be violating an Issa Karis. Like this, it's only an Issa de Rabbanon. The man is living with the Nochra, it's only an Issa de Rabbanon. Like this, he's going to make it into an Issa de Raisa. So the Maram Shik has a whole tshuva. No, that it's better to have a convert and violate Nida rather than to leave it the way it is now, because now it's an Issa Chomer. So it's a problematic tshuva, because you're doing a taiva to the man, but you're doing a disservice to the woman. So is that right? Now the woman isn't violating any of it. Does it make sense to have a convert? So that's a cheshbon that people have to make. Okay, we'll leave out the last part for some other occasion. Got to run to Dal Mincha. So,